Hello again, Gunners. Hopefully you can hear me out there in podcast land. I'm doing this with a different microphone, as in an internal microphone in the actual computer. I just want to experiment, so hopefully you don't mind. I've even turned the air conditioning off. What else do you want out of life? I'll tell you what we want, 3 points. Also got 3 points, obviously, against Leicester. There will be a few FPL tips. Can you trust my tips? I'm not sure. I'm doing quite well, I have to say, in my leagues that I'm in, but we'll get to that in just a little while. But first of all, I wanted to draw your attention to an article that's been in the Independent. I quite like this one. I think the music's going to play again. I was quick enough to stop that. So yeah, first of all, I was going to talk about the Independent newspaper, but instead I'll talk about something else. Garth Crooks claims 23-year-old Arsenal player has just lost all of his form. Who do you think that 23-year-old is? Well, it begins with N. Nketiah, I hear some of you say. Well, do we agree with that? Clearly, he got dropped for the game against Leicester. And look who turned up and really did well in his place. Of course, the ex-Brighton winger Trossard, who's played as a false nine, scored an amazing goal. Quite how it got chalked off to me was a bit beyond belief. It was probably a foul, but they seem to be looking. The VAR teams are really looking for fouls, trying to give fouls when they're not very obvious, are they? So yeah, and as a result, the 3 points was great, but different kind of result. Jorginho and Trossard are really getting all the plaudits. Berkham-esque. One of the weblogs out there on Arsenal, the headline they're running is Jorginho and Trossard are pulling Arsenal through. But going back to Nketiah for a minute, point is, how well is he doing? I think he's doing all right. Although he did get dropped, he's on a bit of a goal drought, but he still has a lot of shots on target and not going in at the moment, but they assume well, don't worry about that. Even going to FPL for a moment, even the FPL pundits are suggesting that people should be bringing in Nketiah, but I think his price will drop in that game, because basically, if you're not scoring points, then the so-called managers are gonna start selling you, and in that case, your price will drop. So I don't expect Nketiah's losing any sleep over that. But anyway, yeah, Arsenal still at the top. Long may that continue. It certainly looks like it's a resilient Arsenal nowadays. Jorginho was excellent at midfield, kept it ticking over really when Arsenal most needed that. Because that game, let's not get it twisted, that was a pretty tough game. And what really irritated me about the VAR team was how could they possibly not notice all the clumsy challenges on Saka? He doesn't get any protection whatsoever. Not that he asked for it, but he probably should. There were two possible penalties. The cameras only seemed to pick up one. There were a couple of awful, well, they weren't that awful in terms of, you know, it wasn't life or death. But these challenges were clumsy. Saka went down. Maybe the referees think he's going down too easily. Not sure, but he certainly was clipped. On both occasions, he goes down, no penalty. VAR, we don't even see what they do behind the scenes. We do sometimes, but only when they want to. It's getting very selective now, and I just can't really believe that they're not they're not a little bit biased. Sorry to say, that's how it seems. There's certain clubs that get away with murder, and Arsenal certainly not one of those. As I said before, Jorginho had an impressive two halves. He was possibly one of the best players in the first 45 minutes. There was, you could make the case that Arsenal should have dominated perhaps a little bit more. They were dominant, but could they have dominated and finished Leicester off? Well, not if they're playing against VAR as well as a full 11 complement for the other side. So anyway, Jorginho, I thought he kept things ticking over in midfield first half. Zinchenko, let's not forget, he was made captain for the day in support of the Ukraine. And Odegaard, although he didn't have the armband, he was still there with his very quick footwork. The rest of the team, weren't that impressive in the first half. Zinchenko up and down, some amazing moments, some not so amazing moments. Xhaka started off quite poorly, I thought, and improved as the half went on. Trossard was one of the best players, in my opinion, in the first half. And in the second half, he was also very, very good too, obviously setting up the goal with a nutmeg. Setting up the only goal of the game for the player, I probably would have taken off Martinelli. I didn't think the first half he was that great, but you've got to give him credit for scoring and going through the pain barrier to score too. There was a challenge that came in and he could have been cropped from that challenge, but luckily he wasn't. Gabriel, a lot of people saying he's the best Arsenal defender at the moment. Find that hard to argue with. White was much better in the second half. I thought he was a little bit ropey in the first. Obviously, his foul cost a goal, you might say, because apparently his foul, in inverted commas, was the reason why the first goal was disallowed. As I said, found it hard to take. Saliba improved. He wasn't challenged as much as he has been in other games, I suppose. But yeah, you got to be happy with his performance, I think. And what else? Ramsdale, clean sheet. I'm on about that. And Nketiah, who I mentioned earlier, came on as a sub and ran around a fair bit. And I wouldn't say caused a lot of problems, but he, considering he supposedly was carrying an injury, you wouldn't really think so because the way he was running, it didn't look that way. Partey came on. He didn't look quite at the races, so he'd obviously been carrying an injury. Tomiyasu came on last few minutes, so didn't really have a big influence on the game. I just wanted to, as I mentioned before, talk about the Independent, who've got a really interesting headline. The Arsenal compromise that could deliver unlikely Premier League title. Obviously, they're talking about Trossard and Jorginho. These two players were compromises in the transfer market. So the argument, basically, in the Independent is that had Arsenal signed Mudryk and Caicedo instead of Trossard and Jorginho, things could be very, very different. Maybe these two players would have taken much longer to settle, but these two experienced players who were much cheaper and available to Arsenal, because obviously Arsenal were out-trumped for Mudryk, which was a great shame. But then look, he's not really set the world alight at Chelsea. That's not entirely his fault because he's not getting starts. But nevertheless, Trossard has been extremely influential. And Jorginho seemed a bit of a Jonah when he first arrived, in as much as Arsenal were not picking up as many points as they had done previously. But Jorginho is now starting to show that he offers something. He's just reliable. I don't think he doesn't dominate the midfield the way Partey does when Partey's fit, but he's a pretty good light-for-light replacement. And so I have to say I'm pretty happy with Jorginho overall, even though not all the Arsenal fans were happy to see another Chelsea, inverted commas, reject arrive. Odegaard, the captain, said, Jorginho especially has a lot of experience. He's won a lot of things and brings that mentality. He's a Champions League and Euro 2020 winner, an occupier of the podium in the Ballon d'Or, but there's a gap in his medal collection and Arsenal afford him the chance to win the Premier League. Let's hope that, in fact, happens. The other thing is, what was I going to say about the... what Mikel Arteta had to say. He said about bringing in those sort of players on the transfer front, Trossard and Jorginho. He was quoted as saying, "We had to adapt. You have to do that in the window and not feel sorry for yourselves." So the Independent ended that article. Second choice doesn't mean second rate or second place. So I did like that article. I thought it was pretty good. The Independent, a decent enough newspaper. So yes, that's probably all I'm going to say about Arsenal. So some of you be pleased about that, because I've noticed lately some of you just want to hear about FPL, the Fantasy Premier League. Well, about price changes, Because I think it's quite important to bring in players before they go up in price. So I tend to lately buy players early. I haven't done it this week because Arsenal have still got a game, as have Liverpool. So I'm waiting for that game. Well, I'm trying to wait. I'm feeling very impatient. David Raya has gone up in price to 4.8 million. Please don't tell me it's pronounced Raya because I don't think so. I'm listening to the commentators. But I can't pronounce all the names correctly, I've got to be honest. I was looking at bringing in Liverpool players, but I'm starting to think again, not, you know, with the draw at Crystal Palace, I thought they'd win, but they didn't. And Nunez has gone up, obviously, from Liverpool. Bukayo Saka's gone up in price. Ruben Neves of Wolves has also gone up in price. And Leicester's Iheanacho has gone up in price, but he didn't look that amazing against Arsenal. But in terms of differentials, you do very well if you bring in a player like Iheanacho. He's only 1.7% of managers out there in FPL have got him in their squad. So players that have gone down in value, I'm starting to look at some of those and I'm not feeling happy to see that some of these that I own. Marcus Rashford's gone down in price. I'm sure he'll go up again. Harry Kane's gone up, down in price. Surprise, surprise, but I'm sure he'll go up. Fabian Scher, not Shah, but Scher of Newcastle, he's gone down in price. But these things are going to change. These things are definitely going to change. These players, some of these were kicked out, basically, because of the double game week. And so I think I'll talk about that in a moment. Kevin De Bruyne has gone down in price. I've lost so much money. Luke Shaw's gone down in price. These are all players that I've got. So Mohamed Salah, who I don't have, has gone up in price, but he only got 3 points against Crystal Palace. So you've got to ask yourself, is it really the time to bring him in? The player I think I'd want to bring in right now is another Manchester United player. I think you can guess who it is. He's not my favourite player. He's, what can I say about him? He could be a replacement for De Bruyne, because if you look at the current form, Rashford has got the best form, 10.8 of midfielders. Fernandes of Manchester United, he's got pretty amazing form as well. So if I transferred out Kevin De Bruyne and brought him in, obviously I'll be quids in, as they say. So that sounds pretty good from my perspective. And I am seriously thinking about doing it. However, there's something else I need to discuss with you. Fixture difficulty rating. Now, I don't know if many of you look at this, but it's really important to look at the fixture difficulty rating before you bring in players. So game week 26 is a single game week. No teams have double game weeks. But if you look ahead, so you should do a bit of forward planning, really. If you look ahead to game week 27, you can see Brentford have got two green games. They're supposedly easy against Everton and Southampton. They're both away, though. And Brighton have got an away game against Leeds, which you'd expect them to possibly win, although Leeds got a win against Southampton the other day. And they're at home to Crystal Palace, but actually that's down as green and easy. But Brighton Palace is like a local derby, so I'm not sure that Brighton are going to necessarily come out on top. You'd fancy a draw there, but could be a 0-0. It's so hard to call. Those games are tight. Those games are really tight. So we're looking at that double game week. Obviously, Palace, also another team with two games in game week 27. They've got Manchester City at home, pretty tough, and Brighton away. So who should you bring in? And then Southampton have got Manchester United away and Brentford at home. So I'm looking at Brentford, really, because I feel that they've got Fulham next. Then they've got Everton away and Southampton away. They may well get, it's not about how many points they get, obviously, it's more about, are they going to keep clean sheets, are they going to score goals? And the answer is they could do both, because they are quite an attacking side and they've got a decent keeper as well. So these players from Brentford, I'd certainly be looking at bringing in. Brighton, maybe Mitoma, everyone calls him Mitoma, but it's actually Mitoma. If you bring him in, that may be a good choice of player. So let's look at other games coming up. So game week 28, that's a single game week, so I won't talk too much about that. But then looking ahead to game week 29, a lot of people are going to use a wild card for that game, for that game week. because there are a number of teams with two matches. Aston Villa have got two games, one against Chelsea away and Leicester away, so that doesn't really tempt me much. Bournemouth have got Fulham at home and Brighton at home. Well, Bournemouth, are you going to, if you're ever going to bring in a Bournemouth player, do it before game week 29. I'm not so convinced myself because look at them in the league. They're not, they're second from bottom last I looked. Brentford, two away games, Brighton away, Man U away, so that doesn't tempt me. Brighton, home to Brentford, away to Bournemouth, that does tempt me. So long term, you want to be looking at bringing in Brighton players. Chelsea, they've got Villa at home, Liverpool at home. Slightly tempted, but Chelsea have let me down lately. I keep bringing in Chelsea players and they're not delivering. Then let's look at Leeds, another team with two games in game week 29. They've got Arsenal away, Forest at home. Slightly tempting. I'd keep an eye on Leeds. Leicester are away at Crystal Palace and at home to Villa. They're both regarded as green by the FPL. Not sure. Liverpool have got Manchester City away and Chelsea away. Not very attractive fixtures, really. Man U have got Newcastle away and Brentford at home. Brentford at home is down as a grey because they've not always got a good record against them. Man U, slightly tempted. Newcastle at home to Man U, away to West Ham. Well, after the disappointment of that recent League Cup final, I'm not sure how Newcastle are going to go from here on in. And Forest home to Wolves and away to Leeds. Oh, sorry, one more. West Ham at home to Southampton and at home to Newcastle. So the teams that I'd recruit from right now, West Ham, not immediately. I'd wait a little while. But right now, I've been looking at Brighton and Brentford. How about making a new team? Brightford, that sounds good. I feel I want to bring in a Brentford player. I've only got one at the moment, which is goalkeeper Raya. Obviously Ivan Toney's a good player to bring in, but he's not cheap. So do bear that in mind. Mitoma, loads of people want to bring him in as well. So yeah, if you're looking at the calendar, both Brentford and Brighton have supposedly easy fixtures. So they're the teams that you should be looking to recruit from. So that's about it. I haven't got much time to do any more. Hopefully somebody out there liked this, what I'm doing, because I'm not sure what it is. It is that, oh, somebody's put, I love Arsenal. So thanks for that, Omid Abassi. And it's good to hear from you. So I'm going to leave it there unless there are anyone wants to call in, but obviously don't. Okay, until the next time, I want to say adios, amigos.